Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road, New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and streaming on the web and at ksfr.org. We hope that many people are streaming us on the web today. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org. You can hear the show there any time of day or night, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Today, the day has come, ladies and gentlemen, where the nation gets to make a decision between cats and dogs, by which we will not say good and evil or evil and good, oh no. I would like now to welcome special cat advocate Eve Tolpa. She is a volunteer at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. And Reese Peterson, she is a special cat advocate, and she is the executive director of the Santa Fe Conservation Trust. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good morning.
And Bill Hutchison is our regular animal person because this is Animal Friday, and he is also working at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I do think of myself as a regular animal person.
You are a regular, and you're an animal person, and you're a regular on this show. And I would like to say that the wonderful animal nutritionist, Richard Patton, stopped by this morning with a check for $100, and he is challenging the world, all the people who work in animal welfare of any kind, veterinarians, everybody, to pony up, so to speak, or to doggy up, and call 505-428-1393 and make a contribution to cats or dogs.
I'd rather say that he wants people to contribute to the kitty.
You know, that is a really good point. He wants people to contribute to the KSFR kitty, but I have to tell you, I said, would you vote cats or dogs? He said he hesitated because, of course, he's an animal nutritionist.
And he did say, I recognize the enormity of this decision.
He said it's it was biblical. It was
of biblical proportions.
Yes, but he did say that when pressed, that he would have to vote for dogs because of their loyalty.
Oh.
Of course, he was pressed by one of the dog advocates, but perhaps that just shows the strength of the dog argument.
I find that interesting because just before that, he had told me that cats are incredibly independent, and that's something he admires.
So they don't need the money.
428-1393 is the number. Cast your vote, cats or dogs. Now, maybe I would just, by virtue of being the host of the show, have the opportunity to begin this and. One of the things about dogs, which is so great, is that you can hike with them.
Well,
that sounded like a meow.
Meow.
It's a meow of fury.
In my neighborhood, there is a teenage boy who walks his dog regularly, and behind the two of them trots the family cat on a regular basis. So, you know, people who think that dogs have this edge when it comes to communal hiking or walks or whatever, they don't know what they're talking about. The cat is equally capable, although they have the good sense to stay off of mountain trails and
in muddy places
and high altitudes. They who can be bothered?
Absolutely. And when your cat goes out for a walk with you or without you, it does not come home and shake mud all over your best duvet.
I did have to clean a tremendous amount of dead grass and leaves off my bathroom counter this morning, which was precisely in the shape of my giant cat, which I don't want to say is true because, you know, at heart, I really want cats to make a good showing today, but definitely my cat is the filthiest of the animals
in
my home.
That's anecdotal evidence, Bill. You didn't actually see the cat on the counter. You saw debris, cat-shaped debris, and frankly, anybody could have arranged that.
I will concede that I did find a little plastic baggie full of dead leaves in my dog's bed, but I don't know who was framing whom.
428-1393 is the number. So, you know, this morning we had another special cat advocate lined up who got the flu, and so I called one of the special cat advocates we've had in the past, and asked her to come on the show to be cat advocate, and she declined because her cat had just peed all over her best pillow and ruined it.
Aww.
Sad but true.
That cat must be ill. Cats would never do that.
Cats do it all the time, especially her cat.
No, 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 no.
You know, Mary Charlotte, in the because I am a good dog researcher and believe in the importance of being prepared, unlike Eve, who really only started getting ready about 7 o'clock this morning, admittedly because that's when she found out she was going to be on the show and I knew 6 months ago, but putting that small fact aside, there are some really amazing stories of dogs saving people or helping them. For example, did you know that a German Shepherd guide dog led her blind companion the entire length, 2,100 miles of the Appalachian Trail? And not to be outdone, Teddy Roosevelt's dog, Pete, tore off the French ambassador's pants at the White House once. Now, you may see those as disparate facts, but I see those as two elements in a movement toward a superior showing by dogs.
The number is 505-428-1393. It's the one time of the year where you get to cast your vote. Cats versus dogs, which is better? We would like all those, especially dog people, to call right now. Or cat people, I guess, if you want to really pledge and you're a cat person, that's okay, too.
It's definitely okay. Cats are far superior. I mean, obviously they're smarter than dogs. Have you ever seen 12 cats pulling a sled in winter?
Yeah, but that's because dogs like to work.
Well,
cats have never worked a day in their life.
How dumb is that? Cats are from a culture of leisure.
Do you have
They're card-carrying members of the slow food movement. Have you ever watched a cat eat?
And throw it up and eat it again. That is pretty slow.
No, that's dogs. You're thinking dogs, Bill.
I guess I am. Come to think of it, I am thinking dogs. I do see what you're saying about cats having a culture of leisure, but it's hard for me not to see what dogs do as a culture of community, banding together to help not just their own species in pulling the sled, but working with the human species to make things happen. As far as I can remember, dogs have been with us for about 14,000 years, and cats really only buddied up to us about 7,000 years ago. Which I don't mean to say as dogs, say, selling out earlier, but recognizing that, as we in the nonprofits world know, working together gets us further than working by ourselves.
Oh. I
pulled out the nonprofit rhetoric on that one.
You did. You pulled the nonprofit card. What can I say to that?
Well, I would also like to point out that there's, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people who have been sending these emails and getting these emails that show photographs of the great friendship between a hippopotamus and a little lamb, or a squirrel and a mouse, and all of these interspecies love photos seem to me to be a metaphor for international brotherhood. And I think when you have a situation where dogs have all this time been pulling sleds for human beings, been working for and with human beings, been loving human beings, they got it a long time ago. The fact that international brother and sisterhood is what it's all about. Interspecies, international.
Absolutely. Together we can overcome.
But you know, dogs, I mean, basically they're bound in a form of indentured servitude, aren't they? I mean, a cat has autonomy and frankly can respect itself, can look itself square in the face in the morning every day and think like, yes, I am a singular being with agency in the world, and I am beholden to no man, and I don't think a dog has that kind of integrity, frankly.
I do see where you're coming from, Eve, and the point is well taken, but it's hard not to see that that individuality sometimes gets in the way of community. I think of exploration, say, Laika being the first dog in space, and not only was Laika the first dog in space, but as a Russian dog, she helped bridge that Cold War gap when one of her puppies had dogs with one of John F. Kennedy's dogs. Now, admittedly, we don't want to endorse overpopulation of animals, but I really see that working together, even if it is at the cost of some small amount of individuality or agency, as a sacrifice for the good of many.
You know, you're talking about exploration, and I think a lot of people tend to overlook the fact that in the legendary Shackleton expedition, which began in 1914, I believe.
They
actually had a cat on board with them by the name of Mrs. Chippy, who was actually a tomcat. And Mrs. Chippy was a much beloved member of the crew. And in fact, when Mrs. Chippy, to give an example of what sort of leadership skills and dedication this crew and their leader, Ernest Shackleton, possessed, Mrs. Chippy actually fell off the boat some way within like the first day out to the Antarctic exploration, and they turned around and picked him back up.
Oh, right.
He was a symbol of what that expedition represents.
He seems more like a symbol of a clumsy cat who couldn't maintain his footing on a boat going slowly through the ice. But I wasn't there. I really don't know, and I would hate to put words in Mrs. Chippy's mouth.
Well, also, I mean, it kind of does represent, like, the, what would you call it? The handicap.
Handicap?
Well, the handicap, I mean, this, you have to turn around. You have to stop your mission. And this cat, instead of being part of the mission, actually slowed the whole thing down.
Who knows? They might have discovered the moon on that exploration instead of just Antarctica if that cat hadn't fallen over.
Who knows? They could have avoided hitting an iceberg that they otherwise would have hit. The cat was probably doing that to save the lives of the entire crew. Cats are very intuitive. Cats are very tuned into your needs. And I would like to point out, in response to your earlier remark, Bill, that you mentioned that dogs have been domesticated for some 14,000 years. Research may indicate longer. Very long. Cats, about 7,000 years. My point is that even with a 7,000-year head start, cats are far more domesticated than dogs, even yet.
428-1393 is the telephone number. Cast your vote. Cats versus dogs, which is better? And we're going to break right now to go to the control room and get the vote count so far.
Well, I don't have the vote count so far because some of these people have been reluctant, but I have many thanks.
Okay.
Roger and Marianne, thank you. And Michael. And Becky called to thank Yeller, Cookie, Angel, and Lily.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not sure Yeller might be a
Yeller's got to be a dog.
Got to be a dog.
Yeah. And then John said cats are the best because they don't vote.
You know, I would like to clarify something because this is something we've made clear in the past, and I don't think I said it outright. This is a democratic vote. $1 buys you one vote. So if you make a pledge of $100 for cats, that's 100 votes toward cats. It's just like democracy.
Absolutely.
And dogs are way ahead right now.
Well, that means the universe is in balance. And I think that has, actually, I would have to say that has something to do with the election of Barack Obama.
Who did adopt a dog for the White House?
Just saying.
Given to him by the great late Ted Kennedy. You know, in thinking about the Egyptians who had both cat-headed gods and dog-headed gods, which you would think, okay, that's a split vote from the ancient Egyptians this morning on KSFR. Indeed, the mourning practices were very different. When a pet dog died in ancient Egypt, the owners shaved off their eyebrows, smeared mud in their hair, and wailed aloud for days. Now, lest you think that this is one of those times where I make up my facts, which I am indeed not at all opposed to, this is actually a true fact. This is a true dog, sad Egyptian fact.
Oh, no, cats were at the center of Egyptian life. It was the Egyptians who first domesticated cats. I mean, those people were way ahead of their time.
And they did have were right in the middle of the world's biggest litter box. I've heard sometimes that the pyramids were just cat houses. Not the naughty kind of cat houses, the other kind.
Speaking of naughty, I just got a text from Eric Witt who said that interspecies love is illegal in this and most states.
I think that might be true only when humans are involved, although I don't know that I've seen a lot of smooching or snogging between my cats and my dogs. But perhaps it goes on when I'm not there. I don't know.
If you did see smooching or snogging between your cat and your dog, I swear it was your dog who instigated it, because dogs will come up and give you kisses whether you want to or not. Cats are more discriminating.
Dogs have no personal boundaries.
None.
Or sense of appropriateness. And, you know, frankly, they're all lucky they haven't been slapped with a class action suit.
You do have a point there, but I do think it's hard to argue with a creature who just wants to bring greater love to the world.
Speaking of getting slapped with a class action suit, I think your listeners should call 428-1393 and vote for cats with their dollars, because there is a 336-page book called Dog Law, published by Nolo Press, those wonderful legal advice people. It's in its third edition, folks. There's no corresponding book about cats. Dog law, how to deal with dog bites, how to deal with all the incidents that dogs cause. No cat law book. What does that tell us?
That it is futile to try and deal with the outlaw cats roaming wild across our landscape, doing whatever they want, knocking down doors, clawing your face in the middle of the night. I was reading in preparation for this that dogs have no sense of time, which I kind of appreciate. Now, I think you could easily turn that argument, which, you know, having witnessed your rhetorical skills, you can no doubt do with aplomb and verve, but I think having no sense of time is a lesson that we can really learn. In the morning, I have to have my cat locked up, otherwise he likes to punch me in the face starting at about 5 o'clock until I feed him. My dog sleeps gently by my side, loyal companion and friend, adventurer in dreamland until I urge them up and we have our first morning wake together. Not like the cat, not like the tyranny, the dictatorial, demanding nature of the cat.
Cat people, I have to say, are way behind. Just saying. 428-1393.
They're still asleep, aren't they? I mean,
they're cuddling with their cats right now.
Yeah.
They're probably punching somebody in the face waiting for breakfast.
I do encourage anyone who loves cats to call in 428-1393 and vote with your dollars for KSFR.
Every dollar buys you one vote.
I do think we're doing better this year, Mary Charlotte. Usually we've already devolved into personal attacks and slapping across the radio table at this point in the show.
Well, I was reading the updated website, whycatsuck.com, and I did find some things. And one of them is that they bury their claws into your skin when they are happy. That is problematic.
Love hurts sometimes.
It does.
But that's the bad part of love.
I have to say that it is hard to argue with the fact that cats do give you perhaps more of a genuine sense of...
Did you say perhaps?
...of relationship. But I remember reading somewhere recently that in the signature line of somebody who works at another animal shelter, our mission is to tell the truth and our goal is to change the truth we have to tell. And I kind of see that with cats and dogs. Cats tell you the truth, that love hurts. And dogs are trying to change the truth of love, which is that you can have love that doesn't hurt. And I think that is a noble and high-reaching gesture.
I so disagree with dogs as a non-violent kind of love that you're proposing here. I mean, as far as I can tell, their main way of demonstrating their so-called love is by jumping up on you and knocking you down and,
exactly,
you know, nipping at you. And
exactly.
There are all sorts of nuisancery.
When a cat reads your mood and adapts him or herself to your mood, they are there for you and are gentle around you regardless. A dog doesn't care what your mood is because your dog wants to tell you, it's time to go outside, it's time to go outside, let's go play, run, fetch.
It's all about dogs, isn't it? Me, me, me.
Me, me, me.
A dog doesn't sense your mood because it knows it can change it. That no matter the depths of your despair, your dog throws a lifeline over the cliff and pulls you paw over paw up again. I think of the Saint Bernard with the cask under his chin. There's no such iconographic picture for cats.
505-428-1393. Cast your vote. Cats versus dogs. I guess the phones are ringing off the hook. If you can't get through, just keep trying again. 505-428-1393, because the voting ends, ladies and gentlemen, at 9 o'clock.
Right.
We've got a report from the control room.
Yes, indeed. Oh, boy. Hey, you know what? I sent an email to my cat, Leo, that he had to get up because, I don't know, I mean, he's got a little bank account waiting there.
Would you like to weigh in, Mary Lynn LeBlanc, in your privileged role as engineer of this show?
Rare! Actually, I love both. I've had both cats and dogs.
Mary Lynn being a true peacemaker, but nevertheless.
But my cat tackled me this morning and he said, don't forget to pledge for me. So there you go. John, thank you. John, once again, he said he likes cats because they don't bark. I misquoted him.
I have to say, he's got a point.
He does.
I'm just saying that he's got a point.
I'm not going to call you a traitor. I'm going to agree with you, but I still think we'll pull ahead in the long run.
But then again, dogs do keep you safe from burglars and other people who are trying to get into your house and create havoc and evil in your space. And dogs bark and then they stay away. Okay, Mary Lynn, keep going.
Well, we have a couple people to thank who've pledged before, but they just couldn't resist. Martha Flousey.
Yay!
And Edward. Now, they balanced each other out as far as cats and dogs go.
Uh-oh. And that is our special cat advocate's companion, Edward. Thank you.
And Betty Bohr already gave two, but she was laughing so hard she had to give again.
428-1393.
Even if you like cats, you people are dear, dear people.
Lorraine
gave in memory of of her dog, Quiz, who died yesterday of cancer.
Oh.
She gave a generous donation, so thank you, Lorraine.
We're sorry.
We are sorry, Lorraine, but that's a wonderful name for a dog. That's possibly one of the best names I've ever heard.
Quiz. Scrabble name. You get a lot
I wonder
points
if it comes
that.
From Quizno.
And how wonderful of her to call in a pledge.
It is indeed wonderful.
Absolutely.
You're helping the cause. You're helping the many causes, including keeping public radio on the air and expressing your feelings about world peace through cats and dogs. 428-1393 is the number in the 505 area code.
And Mary Lynn, I have been authorized on behalf of Bruce, one of the shelter's dog volunteers, who is in Galapagos touring around right now. But because he feels so strongly about the dogs versus cats cause and public radio in general, he's pitched in $50, so please feel free to add that to the tally. I will send a check with Mary Charlotte.
Okay.
428-1393. Now, on this same page of whycatsuck.com, I learned something that I didn't know before, which is that cats do not like The Clash. This is true. Play the last track on Sandinista and see what happens.
Anybody, any species who doesn't like The Clash, or even a representative of a species who doesn't like The Clash, I think knocks everybody out of the running.
But cats do like Big Audio Dynamite, which is a spin-off band of The Clash, and so, you know.
Oh, she's got us there.
That's
cats are more discriminating, what can we say?
I knew a mouse who loved Eugene Onegin. When my friend who was at opera, this is a true story, it was my neighbor in when I was a kid in the summer, who lived next door to us, who would play Eugene Onegin, and there was this little mouse that got up on the counter and just listened every time she played it. But her husband didn't know that, and he set a mouse trap, and the mouse died. It was very sad.
Aww.
You need to stop telling the end of that story, because it's a great story right up until
right
the
up
end. And then I think, that's the most horrible story I've heard today.
I know, it was very sad.
Mary Charlotte, to make a point, and since this is radio, I want you to describe what you see right here. I'm showing Mary Charlotte my arm. What do you see?
A 3-inch long scabby claw mark.
Yes. I will say that this came from my cats. Do you see this right here? This thin patch of dried saliva? That's a kiss from my dog. From my dog, I got the kiss. From my cat, I got the gaping wound.
I think that pretty much says it.
So I say that in terms of introducing these next two factoids. For example, an elderly woman was saved by her 12-pound Yorkie Terrier who fought off an 80-pound Akita. 100% true. I haven't made up a fact yet today, although I'm certain that I will start lying shortly, and survived with only 9 stitches. And two U.S. Customs Border Patrol agent dogs, Rocky and Barco, were so good at doing their job, again, not a lie yet, that Mexican drug lords put a $300,000 bounty on each of their furry little heads.
I call lie on that. It was $200,000. Actually, I don't know.
I don't know either. Do you know that because you collected? Did you take out those U.S. Customs
I'm a,
dog
I'm a human,
agents?
Polygraph, Bill. I can just see it in your face. I know.
It's
true. Those numbers are completely off.
I did have 200,000 in my eyes.
Speaking of numbers, 428-1393 is the phone number of Cast Your Vote, Cats versus Dogs, which is better? Well, you know, there is also the fact of the institutions which have grown up around cats and dogs, and the United Church of Cuteness, in which I am a high priestess, you know what's on the altar in the cathedral, in the central cathedral of the United Church of Cuteness?
What's that?
A puppy.
I believe it.
Kittens are the ultimate cute, fluffy, adorable, fun animal. Not puppies.
What? Can you make your case, Ms. Peterson?
Kittens are balls of fluff. Kittens are little cups of love. You hold one in your hand, and they are innocence personified.
I have to say, one of my very favorite lines from one of David Mamet's movies was somebody describing something as cute as a pail full of kittens. But I think that the point we
that
make
is
there
so
is
wrong.
Not only is that a nice little colloquialism, but you have to have the massive effect. One puppy is cute on its own, but you have to have a whole pail full of kittens to achieve cuteness. And I don't think you want to argue with David Mamet. I mean, he'll swear a lot
God
at you if you
I
do.
Don't.
No, nor do I.
I try not to.
You know, Mary Charlotte, I know you know that book, The World Without Us, but I don't remember the name of the author.
Alan Weisman.
Alan Weisman. Well, he makes a very interesting point, R.E., cats and dogs. which is that in a world without us humans, that is, dogs would just, they'd just go broke right away. They'd wander in the wilderness for a couple days, and the lucky ones who hooked up with, you know, Buck from the Call of the Wild might make it, but the majority of them would just dwindle into nothingness.
All the small dogs would be eaten by other wolves, coyotes, and larger dogs within 15 to 30 minutes.
Well, and cats, on the other hand, would do just fine. They'd be like the cockroaches after the apocalypse. They would soldier on. And your man posits that the reason this is that cats are not actually a domesticated animal, but that at heart they are a wild animal, and your house is just one of the many habitats that they frequent.
I like that the cat people make our arguments for us, Mary Charlotte, both in Eve's claim that cats are faking it and really only using us for our houses, number one. But that number two, they will absolutely turn on us in a second. And when Eve compared the cats to cockroaches, I think that was pretty much everything she
had
to say.
I'm not sure that you really have made your argument by comparing cats to cockroaches. Well,
aren't cockroaches like that? That's something to aspire to be that invincible, that, you know, in a world. Yes.
Nobody says cute as a pail full of cockroaches.
I have never vouched for their cuteness. I'm just talking about their longevity and toughness and.
But in a way, you're contradicting your fellow special cat advocate who said that cats were more domesticated than dogs. It turns out they're not domesticated at all.
You know, that's the beauty of our team, as it were. We embrace the diversity of differing opinions, and we don't follow a party line. We're allowed to each have our own thoughts, and we respect and admire that about each other.
We're independent thinkers, just like cats, and your listeners should call in to 428-1393.
It's a vote for independent thinking.
Put their money where their cats are.
Put your dinero where your boca is. 428-1393.
Mary Charlotte, what's the 866 number for people who live outside the calling area?
That's a fabulous question. It's 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Now, one friend of ours, whom Mary Lynn reminded me of, getting in touch with me from the control room, said that if we sent cats to Washington, D.C., they would get rid of all the rats.
That's a very good point.
Ooh, some of those rats weigh upwards of 200 pounds.
Then we could get the dogs in power where they belong.
I think not. I'd like to point out that cats are the ultimate meditators. You see a cat. My cat sits on the living room floor outside my patio door. Inside, I keep my cat inside because I love the little birdies. And she just sits there, and her mind is a perfect, still, reflecting pond. No thought whatsoever. I try to emulate that cat.
Boy, if you want to see a still, reflecting pond, I think a Labrador's brain is perfect.
You have a point, Bill.
Still waters may not run deep, but they sure are still.
428-1393 is the number. Cats versus dogs, which is better? I think that we really need to talk about something here that dogs have done, which is, I think they've been a very strong part of the anti-nuclear proliferation movement.
From day one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I don't think we need to back that up with any facts. All right, moving on. I have a couple of interesting facts about old tribes. For example, the Mayans and the Aztecs symbolized every 10th day with a dog, and those born under the 10th day sign of the dog were believed to have had special leadership skills. And even better, this is possibly my favorite dog fact that is not fake, that we haven't lied about ever in the years of doing the dog versus cats. The ancient Mbaya Indians of the Gran Chaco in South America believed that humans originally lived underground until dogs dug them up. 100% true.
Aww. Just like they dig up your flower beds.
Absolutely.
Now,
they're looking for more people for you. They've got to be down there. I know they are.
Well, there is this fact of love. Now, I have three dogs that many of my listeners can probably name, because I've probably talked about them a little too much. But their names are Milk, Honey, and Horatio. And I had a good friend stay with me last summer for several weeks, and so often I would leave the house and she would still be there. And she came back, she took a picture of this, so I have photographic evidence. She said, you know, your little dog Horatio, when you leave the house, he's a long-haired dachshund, when you leave the house, He sits in front of the door. He takes the little throw rug that's in front of the door. He makes a nest out of it and sleeps there waiting for you. And then when he hears your car coming up the street, he smooths it out with his paws and waits for you to come in the door.
That's pretty dear.
That is so sweet. What cat would do that?
You know, even my little blind and deaf pug, he knows when I'm coming home. I don't know how he knows. I don't know. He has very little sensory input happening, but he gets very excited and starts barking incessantly, which, frankly, even as I say that, I realize is pretty annoying and not a huge endorsement for dogs.
Bingo.
But he knows. He loves me. My cats just don't care. My cats love me when it's time for food.
Our cat, in stark opposition to that, comes galloping in through the back cat door when she hears one of us come through the front door at home, just tearing through to greet us. So
is it for food? Does she eat at night?
No.
You can't lie. You've told
her.
God will know.
She's got her food is available to her any time of the day. It's a rotating buffet, and she's welcome to it at any point. And that's how we know that her love is real and unconditional, and it is not tied to particular rewards or bonuses or whatever you consider food in this world.
Exactly. I would say that people should call 428-1393 or 866-907-5737. 866-907-5737.
And if they can't get through, keep calling because the phones are just ringing.
Yes.
Right off the hook.
I am getting text messages that say people are having trouble getting through. If you care, dog people, and I know you do, keep your paws pounding your touch-tone phone and get through.
Cats, on the other hand, just press redial. It's so much simpler and smarter.
Smarter.
So keep that up, too.
Mary Charlotte, I'd like to make a point here. I have a thesis that a good cat is like a good woman. And here's my point. A good cat is elegant, self-grooming, clean, sweet-smelling. Just like a woman, a cat is complex, enigmatic, sometimes amusingly unpredictable. Cats, like women, never allow themselves to be petted indiscriminately. When they want to be touched, they'll let you know. A good cat, like a good woman, gives kisses, but unlike some species we know, doesn't force them on you. A good cat, like a good woman, is entirely self-amusing when you're not around, but when you are around, quite affectionate. And finally, they are naturals, both women and cats, at getting their way, silently inspiring us to do their will and setting the rules for us without making a fuss over it.
I've always heard that cats were in some ways like a good man, too, that they can be trained on where to go to the bathroom, but will still end up getting urine everywhere.
428-1393 is all I can say to that, Bill Hutchison.
I think you were thinking of dogs.
I might have been.
Mm-hmm. Dogs versus cats, which is better? Mary Lynn.
Yeah, the dogs are still in the lead. Boy, that's because they have longer legs.
That is so wrong.
Yeah, let me thank a bunch of people.
Yay!
Computer Help Now, and especially Martin from Computer Help Now. And
thank you.
And Rosario Provenza for dogs.
Yay!
Jane and Sandy Brickner, or is it Jones? James, maybe. James and Sandy Brickner.
Yay!
For cats. And Colleen for dogs, and she wants to especially have us thank Cheyenne, the greyhound, for contributing.
Oh, I thought that was a different Colleen. Well, good. There's multiple. I think my other Colleen is going to call, too. Yay.
And Mary Martin, the director of the animal shelter, gave a generous, most generous contribution, wants to thank you. She felt she had to divide her vote 50-50.
Yeah, well, you know, the true peacemakers walk among us. And set an example for what we're not.
And we have listeners from Maine who called in. Jonathan
yes,
and
Maine
Robin.
Cats.
John and Robin.
Who called in for Kate for their dogs. Kate, Duster, and Clara.
Kate, Duster, and Clara are good dogs. I saw a picture of them on Facebook last night.
I think it's indicative of the fact that dogs are getting bi-coastal support here, that we may have picked the winning species on this one. And thinking about dogs having longer legs and therefore pulling ahead, I have to say the fastest land mammal is the cheetah, the relative of the cat, and it's just not pulling ahead right now. Short bursts of speed don't do it. It's the kind of animal that can go thousands of miles across tundra and snow that is clearly the triumphant beast.
428-1393. So let's let's get back to guarding your house. My little dog Horatio, he's a dachshund. He weighs probably 17 pounds. He's all fur. When he runs, it's awfully cute, but it's not exactly an exercise in speed.
I've seen that dog run.
He's like a little sort of fuzzy woolly caterpillar with legs gliding along the ground. But when the time comes, he wants to protect me because he hears, when he hears a person at the door, when he hears a person at the back door, when he hears a person on the street, he goes woof 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 woof.
You know, watching Horatio run is like watching Winston Churchill do a wind sprint. Nobody's going to get anywhere very fast, but it's incredibly entertaining.
And he has such heart. He goes about, you know, 0.1 mile per hour, but he has heart and he never gives up. He's a good little dog.
He's like a wind-up toy.
We call him the intrepid dachshund. 428-1393 is the number. Cats versus dogs, which is better? Now,
Did you know that Shakespeare coined the term watchdog? Shakespeare,
no.
Our greatest living poet in English,
I think it
gave
was an
us
imperative,
the watchdog.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it watch, comma, dog? Like he was instructing his dog to pay attention to something? Because God knows you can't get them to
don't
like
split hairs when I'm trying to lie on the radio.
428-1393. I thought that was true.
Well, it was true. But it's also funny when you pretend true things are a lie.
You can leave cats alone with good food and water for a couple of days and they will be entirely content. And when you come home after leaving your dog alone for a couple of days, which one should never do, by the way, you know, your dog will let you know how they felt about that by presenting you with several chewed pairs of shoes.
That's only
puppies. Cats don't do that. Oh, no.
Sadly, I don't think it is, but I'm not going to disagree
with you
on the air.
In my house, it's only puppies, but you know, Walt Whitman wrote this wonderful poem that not very many people know about because it exists only in draft form, but I found it. It's called Song of My Dog.
Yeah, beautiful, wonderful. One of the great advocates for culture.
I celebrate my dog and sing my dog and what I assume you shall assume for every atom belonging to me as good belongs to you and my dog.
That's gorgeous. That from the man who also really adored Abraham Lincoln's dog.
That's right.
Hey, the cats are waking up. At least maybe the cheetahs are.
Yay.
The latest vote is cats 600 to dogs 1,040.
Oh, come on, cat people.
Love it.
Yeah.
428-1393, that's all I can say.
Yeah, we have lots more thanks. Betty Booth for cats.
Yay,
Betty.
Barbara, who is a huge fan of Mary Charlotte. She's been on your show, Folk Art Museum.
Oh, yay.
And she also wants to thank Ricardo and Helga for their work. Tanya Rubenstein.
Yay, cats or dogs?
She didn't say, but she thinks for you.
Okay, well, then that's dogs.
Betty Booth for cats. Did I say Betty Booth?
Yes.
Already? I think I did. The John for only good dogs.
Oh, okay.
Only
that's
good dogs.
That's fair
which
enough.
Which, of course, is all dogs.
Carla Cooper votes for dogs Watson and Henry.
Yay.
Watson's a pug who punches Carla to wake her up.
Violence.
428-1393, cats versus dogs, which is better?
It's a cat-sized dog that punches the person to wake her up. But I have to say, as a person who lives with a pug, they are demanding even when they're not demanding anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way they are. You know, thinking about the cat people's argument against independence, which we see time and time again in dogs versus cats, I cannot help but look at the concrete details of dogs being in service to the community of many species. Dogs can smell dead bodies underwater. They help us with that kind of nasty job where they can find where termites are hiding. They can smell natural gas buried under 40 feet of dirt. And, as many of you have heard, dogs can even detect certain kinds of cancer.
That's right.
By smelling people's breath. 100% true.
And they can cure it by licking you.
All right, now we're actually starting to mix in some of the fictional details, but for the sake of wanting to win at any cost, at this point a cost of about $1,040, I'll totally agree.
On the other hand, cats have been shown to be healing animals. The purr has a resonance, a harmonic resonance, that actually delivers healing sound to your body.
That's a very dangerous thing to.
Yesterday.
It's very dangerous to say things like that in Santa Fe because there is a massive contingent that will be wearing cats around their necks now.
Which you can do. You can't wear a dog around your neck, Bill, but you can drape a cat any way that you want.
It's true. It's like participatory fur coats.
Phoebe, my lovely little black cat with the most gorgeous green eyes, loves to lie around my neck, and I'm training her to hold her own paws so she'll be like a little stole for me.
That's beautiful. Cruelty-free.
It is. It's a cruelty-free way of wearing fur.
I like that. That's a very good idea.
Thank you.
428-1393 is the number. Cats versus dogs, which is better? Well, I mean, when we talk about healing, yeah, cats may be real healers on the individual level, but who's out there on the front lines fighting climate change? Dogs.
Always.
Fighting climate change?
Yes, because dogs are great advocates of carbon sequestration through
lie.
No?
Lie.
No.
Lie. In fact, I have...
They fertilize trees.
I think their methane contribution alone is definitely doing some damage to the ozone.
Exactly.
Layer.
When was the last time your cat passed an unpleasant smell?
I didn't want to chime in on this, but thinking again about the pug, I may have to agree with Eve there that I do tend to wake up often in the middle of the night when a silent but deadly noise has entered my room and not gone away.
A daily happenstance with every dog in the world. On the other hand, to refute your point about climate change, Mary Charlotte, cats, I have a black cat for a reason. You know, as you know, I'm in the environmental field.
So that it crosses other people's paths and gives them bad luck?
Cats are good luck, aren't they?
They're fantastic luck. I have a black cat because I plan to put her on the roof during the daytime to absorb the sunlight and then bring her indoors at night so that she can radiate like a tromwall. I'm going to get a lot of black cats.
I am a beautiful avant
in this global warming thing.
Yes, so they're basically living solar gain machines.
Precisely.
Yeah, but think about a Labrador Retriever. You can get way more heat out of those, a black lab.
You do have a point.
Did you know that St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers, was depicted often in the early Christian tradition as having a dog's head? He would help guide travelers home, just like a dog does.
Oh. That's so cute.
Versus St. Ignatius, the patron saint of people who will try and screw you over while you're traveling, who was often depicted with a cat's head.
That is so not true.
I don't know if you knew that during the American Revolution, when Paul Revere, the origin of the phrase one if by land, two if by sea, people think that refers to candles or bells or God knows what, but it actually refers to cats sitting in the window acting as beacons for the people who would ride by.
Is that really true?
Absolutely.
That's a good story. I only 30% believe that that's true because I don't have quite the human polygraph skills you do, but if that is a true fact, I like that one.
Cats are benign and peacemakers. 428-1393 is the way to let the world know that you believe in cats. In the Bible, there's a reference to the lion laying down with the lamb. You notice it wasn't a dog who lay down with the lamb.
Yeah, but that's because the cats were the predators who were the problem in the first place.
I will say dogs are mentioned. Dogs, as dogs, are mentioned 14 times in the Bible compared to a comparative zero for cats and only a couple if you include lions.
But they're always mentioned in a disparaging way, you know, like,
cur.
That guy, Judas, was a dog.
No way. A lot of them, 13 of the 14 are about Jesus' dog, Harold, who was really a beloved pet of the disciples.
That's right, he was a terrier.
He was.
428-1393 is the number.
Terrier.
Now, the people who tried to get through earlier and couldn't get through, I think that there are some phone lines available now, so give a call, 428-1393.
And the dog people will have been trying. The cat people will have given up the first time they didn't get through.
That is not true. Cats are so patient, and so are their owners. 866-907-5737 is the number to call from outside the service area. And as we know, cat lovers are far-flung across New Mexico, across the United States, around the world. People, call in.
So I've got a serious topic of discussion I'd like to broach with y'all, and that is movies. Why are there so many movies about dogs playing sports, and hockey, and basketball?
Because they're cute.
And cats, I think cats are getting the short end of the stick in terms of the only movie that we can think of with a cat in it is That Darn Cat. And excuse me, FCC, if I'm breaking any rules here. But, you know, is that really
Well, I think
I
know,
might be exposing myself here.
From each according to his need, from each according to his ability. I mean, you know, dogs have, I hate to say it, but more abilities in sports.
We did talk about this a little bit before we went on the air, that for dog actors versus cat actors, you can, a dog will assume a role, will go beyond itself to fill the being of something else that needs to be portrayed on screen, whereas you yourself, Eve, said they just film a cat for months, and when it finally does the thing they wanted it to do, they cut that footage. I will say that I learned that Ren 10-10 used to actually truly sign his own contracts with his paw print.
4281393. I'm sure that's what you would call, quote, true, unquote.
Well, I found it on the internet, so it's got
to
be true.
Oh, so then it has to be true. But, you know, dogs
I found it on the internet, and I printed it out, which is like a double whammy. Look out, Wikipedia. I'm sourcing my material.
4281393 is the number. Now, dogs will do tricks. They'll chase a ball. They'll sit. They'll jump through a hoop. They'll, you know, they'll come when you call them if you've trained them properly, which some people do.
That's only because they're slavishly needy. They just want your approval. They're not centered like cats.
I have a friend who had a cat that could do tricks. I've known a couple of cats who could do tricks, and cat people who have trick doing cats, please phone in. Kim, I'm thinking of you in particular. I remember your cat who would drink beer, but only out of a green bottle. He was like a strict sort of Heineken, Rolling Rock cat. He would not drink the, like, Anheuser
That seems
Bush.
More like a cat in need of rehab than in need of calling in to vote.
Well, I knew a cat who could do high five as well.
That's pretty good.
And guess what, folks? Mira Cream of Pomegranate Studios
Yay.
Called in for cats. I bet her cats
Yay.
Know how to dance.
I bet they do. They're Middle Eastern belly dancers.
Yeah, thank you, Mira. And Deborah already pledged, but she was compelled to vote for dogs.
Yay.
Thank you, Deborah.
The dogs are Yo-Yo, Bodhi, and Alex. Or maybe that's Bodhi. B-O-D-I.
So what we're going to do is extend the voting to the end of the local news. It's 5 minutes before the hour, and we're going to go until 9:07, and at 9:08, we will announce the winner. So you've still got some time. Cats versus dogs, which is better? 4281393 in the 505 area code.
You know, Mary Charlotte, I was thinking about dogs being actors and the ability to project beyond yourself, to imagine, to convey a sense of something that is not you, but creating something whole cloth in the abstract world. Dogs have been doing this for a long time. Male dogs raise their legs when they pee on something so that they appear taller when other dogs come by to read the signature, as it were. Some wild dogs in Africa will actually try to run up tree trunks while they are peeing to appear very, very tall. And since I am never one to shy away from facts about both dogs and urine, I feel compelled to say that this is, if not the greatest case for dogs getting your vote, certainly one of the top three.
It shows that dogs are deceptive, Bill. Sneaky, lying dog. You don't ever hear sneaky, lying cat.
Well, maybe they're just good survivors.
I think it's because cats try to murder people who say that about them. So be careful when you go home. Cats are really homicidal.
Now, dogs, they will curl up and sleep with you, and they will never claw you. I mean, we said that before, but, you know, the scratch mark on your arm, Bill, whereas I have slept for many years with any number of small dogs. And that's another thing I have to say, is that the size range of cats, if you want to get a cat, you can get a little cat or a big cat, but the difference is maybe 10 pounds between the smallest and the largest domestic cat you can get. But if you want a little 7-pound dog, you can get one. And if you want a 120-pound dog, you can get one of those too. And anything in between, you have a much greater variety. And I think in a capitalist consumer society, there's a lot to be said for that.
I think that cats are superior for sleeping with, because even a large cat will leave room on the bed for you. I mean, try to sleep with a Great Dane.
I did for a long time. She has to sleep next to me now because she no longer can fit on the bed.
Yep.
It's sad but true.
Yep. Well, then you just have to get a California king-size bed.
I have been thinking about it.
I woke up this morning lying on my side, and my cat was asleep on my hip, perched on top of me,
Aww.
Keeping me warm, not barking and saying, I need to go out, I need to go out.
Well, then you just get you make a dog door, which is what my dogs do. They just go out their dog door. 4281393. But I have to say that one of the physics problems, and I think they're working on this at the Santa Fe Institute here in Santa Fe, but it's a real think tank problem that has been posed by dogs, and that is, how can an 18-pound dog take up 90% of a queen-size bed?
It's impressive. It's a lot of sort of multidimensional, constantly inhabiting several space points in time all at the same time.
It's multidimensional physics.
I call on all my friends up at Santa Fe Institute to call in at 428-1393 and stand up for cat research. Good, basic, scientific cat research.
You know, to revisit your Shackleton point, Eve, I was thinking about the Titanic. Zero cats survived the sinking of the Titanic, but three dogs did, a Newfie, a Pomeranian, and a Pekingese, dogs who inhabit the whole range of weight spectrums that that Mary Charlotte was telling us about. And not only did they not have to stop the Titanic to save the dogs, but as the ship sank, those dogs were probably working hard to save people, but probably not cats.
It's 1 minute before the hour of 9 o'clock. It's time to go, but the four of us, special cat and special dog advocates, are going to sit here until the end of the 9 o'clock news, BBC and local news, and we will tell you the winners of who won cats versus dogs, which is better. 428-1393, you've got another 7 minutes to cast your vote, and then the voting is over, the machines close, the data is counted. It's optically scanned. We use paper ballots at 428-1393. Mary Lynn.
Yeah, quickly. Jay said his cat made him pay, or maybe her cat made her vote for cats because otherwise she'd not let her listen to the Anthologist's Cabinet of Musical Marvels.
Oh,
how do you like that,
that's
Bill?
My dear friend Jay. Thank you, Jay.
And that's the name of Bill's show, which airs on Friday night.
Tonight you can tune in for our second Fun Drive episode this evening.
And thank Jay and Zuleika also.
Oh, wonderful. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. And we're back here from the Santa Fe Baking Company. And ladies and gentlemen, the final vote count is in. Cats versus dogs. Mary Lynn, which is better?
Just a few more thank yous to keep the suspense going. Kirsten Hansen and Juniper, thank
Yay.
You. And Jack Lehman for dogs.
Yay.
And Juana for dog Milo. Well, folks, here are the votes. Cats, 880. Dogs, 1,395.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it on KSFR.
That's spectacular. You know, it seems to split about every other time a different species wins, so I am 100% sure that dogs and cats are getting equal airtime, and it certainly doesn't point to any lack of strength or skill on the part of Eve or VC in doing such a fine job advocating for cats. Not fine enough, obviously, but very fine nonetheless.
And ironically, cats come out as the underdog in this race.
Oh, very good, Eve.
428-1393 is the number. You can still call and make a pledge to KSFR, which is what this is really all about anyway, because what you're doing is keeping public radio going by making a pledge to public radio. Whether you love cats, dogs, horses, or, well, I have to just say this before we go, one of my favorite musical artists who sings in English is named Keller Williams, and he just came out with a new album, a new disc called Odd, which is fabulous, and it has a song on it about, among other things, this creature which he saw in a dream, which is a combination of an elephant and a horse, and he calls it the Eliforce. Now, I don't know if we're going to have Eliforce versus cats versus dogs, but I just think the whole world of animals is a wonderful thing, and call 428-1393.
I will say on behalf of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter that
we have to go.
Yes.
KSFR is a great boon to us. Thank you, KSFR, and for supporting it, Santa Fe.
And we want to say thank you and welcome to Ricardo Perez, who is starting Jazz a la Carta.
Gracias. Hola.
Hola. So you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and I turn it on over to into your capable hands, Ricardo Perez.
Gracias.
Thank you so much, Bill Hutchison and Eve Tolpa.
Thank you.
Ciao and meow.
Ciao.
Bye.